very pleased to be joined by our next guest, knower of all things sports, color voice of the Calgary Flames. He is Peter Labardius. Lubo, how are you today, sir?
I am outstanding, guys. I'm terrific, in fact.
Excellent. Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
The draft is a subject that is near and dear to your heart. And
it is, yeah.
We found out on Friday who most of the top picks will be going to, but still one left to be decided, and that's the big one at first overall. I was thrilled that we have a bit of chaos thrown into the NHL draft lottery. What was your reaction to how things went down on Friday with the draft lottery?
I'd like to tell you that you and I were on exactly the same page, but I'd be a complete and utter liar if I said that I found it to be very chaotic as well. And as it went along, I kept saying even out loud in my living room, now it's top three. Oh, no, it better not be top two. Well, no, better not be top one. And it ended up being top one. It's exciting in its own respect for the teams that obviously still have a shot to land a player that I am incredibly fond of. I think he has an opportunity, Lafreniere, to be a true superstar in the National Hockey League, even though we generally think about wingers in that way rather than centermen. But this guy I've been watching for a number of years and really had my first opportunity to watch him in 2018 at the Holinka Gretzky Cup in Edmonton. And, you know, from that time, you just saw the incredible skill set, his will and want to impose himself on the games when they were the most important. And, you know, in a set of draft profiles that I did recently for the station, Peter, I had one real question mark with Alexis Lafreniere going into this season. And that was to see how he would handle the World Junior and being Canada's, if you will, main man. And, well, all he did was suffer what looked to be a tournament-ending injury and came back and was clearly the best player on the gold medal-winning team. So in my world, that's pretty much signed, sealed, and delivered. But, you know, to get back to the original point, no, I'm probably more in the Brian Burke category where the draft is concerned this year with COVID and the nuances of it. I would have been just as soon A-OK with that particular Friday night, only having seven teams involved and deciding on who was going to pick one through seven.
Yeah, and I fully understand that view as well. You want the teams that need the top draft picks to get the top draft picks. That's how you keep teams involved and just kind of keep cycling through everything. And I fully understand that. Well, what I don't get is, like, from the NHL standpoint, this obviously creates a made-for-TV event after the play-in round is done. But why did they have to do it this way? Like, just do one draft lottery after the play-in round, and it's still going to be exciting, and it's still a made-for-TV event. Like, I like a bit of chaos dripped in, but this was also, you could have just done this normally. There was no reason to do it when you did it.
Well, again, you know, I'm really trying hard the last few months to be less critical, more progressive in my thinking. I don't disagree, Peter, with your thought process in a lot of ways, you know, because again, do I think anyone involved, if indeed, you know, and I'm sure we're going to go there too, if indeed games do get played and the season gets finished, you know, one of the reasons I felt pretty strong about it just being those seven teams in is you don't think there aren't thoughts, you know, probably more from the fan base than anybody else about, well, that's a heck of a second prize if we get knocked out in the play-in round. You know, I don't like anything that's somewhat, and I do feel this way a little bit, that it taints the situation a little bit, you know, where there might be another priority or an alternative to winning. Now, do I truly think anybody who's in the event isn't going to try and win the whole ball of wax? of course I think everybody's going to put their best foot forward and try to win. I mean, you only get so many chances, right? So, you know, even for those teams that have been extended an opportunity by the field expanding, well, that matters. Because as we know, even in the city that we cover hockey, being in any form of playoff is not taken for granted, is it? Like that is something that really, really matters. And it's never been harder to, you know, find your way into the tournament, although this one being different. But you're right. I like you, would have been A-okay. But you know what? The other thing, Peter, I understand is that, you know, you haven't had a whole lot going on in your league for quite some time. The chances of it happening the way it did were incredibly, you know, unlikely. Like, I'd feel very different if Team X got pick seven, you know, rather than how it all ended up. So there you have it.
Yeah, and now what I think this creates, and I might be overstating this a bit, but I feel like this is potentially a bit of a fork in the road moment where, depending on how this plays out, and look, it could still go to one of the teams that weren't going to be in the playoffs anyway, like a Rangers or a Canadiens or Blackhawks or something along those lines. But, I mean, one of the things we were throwing out before, Carey Price has had some pretty good weeks in his life as an NHL goalie. If he has another one of those and shuts down the Penguins, and then all of a sudden Alexis Lafreniere is playing on the wing with Sidney Crosby for a few years, that changes the dynamic of this league. And I really think we're talking about a player in Lafreniere who could turn a bad team around. You put him on a good team, and I feel like there are a couple teams where if this goes their way, this really shifts things in the National Hockey League.
Well, again, he hasn't played a game in the league. So, you know, before, and listen, I'm a massive fan, so I want to put that out there. But, you know, I'm also, you need to show me, and you need to show me in the highest level of the sport that you can be a big difference maker, even when you have all the hype, and I think he's going to be a terrific player. So I agree. And, you know, don't tell me that one of the first things, if you like the Flames or you're a Flames fan, I know what went through your head the other night. We know what that message is. I know what went through my head for a small amount of time. And it wasn't the Pittsburgh Penguins getting the first overall pick when it was all said and done.
Those guys, I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, I think you're more than well aware of one team that's, you know, had a few good horseshoes and clover when it comes to lotteries. So, you know, they've done a really nice job up there. I don't take anything away from them. They've got two incredibly talented players, and can't say enough about the job that both Dave Tippett and Ken Holland have done in rebuilding things. But, you know, and I'm a big Bob Nicholson fan, have been for a long time, they don't need to win the lottery again.
No, I'd be pretty okay with a bit of a break from seeing the Edmonton Oilers at the top of a draw. Oh, could you? I understand.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, that would be annoying. I would be relatively annoyed by that thought. And I'm trying to not think about that. That's why I threw out the Penguins as the example.
Right.
Oh, that would make me mad. That would be really frustrating. And I think
it is pretty neat to think about where that individual might fit in red, though.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, that would. I mean, I think it fixes a couple problems.
You're in the market probably. You know, the only thing that you'd probably say would be nicer, but you could put up with it because you can play this guy anywhere. And that's the interesting thing about Lafreniere. The way he impacts the game is, and the way the game is played today, you know, he has what I would call a centerman's impact. You know, this guy does it all. He does it physically, he makes plays, he can score. You know, this guy does it all. And what excites me the most about whoever gets this guy is I'm always a big believer that when you can do it in the most pressure-filled situations, when it's difficult, you've got it going on. And he just passed, as I stated earlier, for me, a massive test. And he did it in a situation where I guarantee you he was hurt to the point where there was a lot of questions being asked within his group of whether he should play or not. Well, in his first two shifts back, I'm like, how is this happening? And the rest is history. And I quite enjoyed January 5th and, you know, winning another gold medal for my favorite country.
Yeah, that certainly doesn't hurt one's case, that's for sure.
But not mine. I don't enjoy it any less either. I quite really enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. As we chat with Peter Labardius here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Logo?
Lou, how are you, buddy? It's been a little
while. I'm good, pal. Been thinking about you. I hope you're doing a little better.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. I mentioned it's been a while since we've had our shows together. You, me, and Peter had a few weeks ago when we were just talking about which NHL teams were getting into the restart. And we've had some news here back and forth about the NHL's return to play plan. I'm just curious how you've felt about, as we get closer and closer to the NHL, maybe having training camps in a few weeks here and the potential of hockey in the next few weeks.
Well, you know, I'm excited. The big one for me, gents, is going to be training camp. So there's some things to get done before now and then, and with the ever, you know, changing health situation, especially south of the border. But when the hub cities are named, and we're down to four, as fine young Mr. Pollock let us all in on at the top of the hour, and I'm sure you guys have discussed already today. So with every piece of news that kind of steers it a little bit more, I get more excited. I'll be more excited, you know, when teams actually kick off training camps. And even at that point, you know, there will still be trepidation and we've still got a lot of things to work out, you know, between the league and the players. And, you know, new news today out of Elliot Friedman about players going back to the Olympics again, potentially in 2022. And I don't think, based on my previous answers, you'd have to stretch very far, Mr. Gordon, to know where I stand on that particular topic. So that made me very, very happy today, if that is indeed part of the next CBA. But yeah, it's I want to be really, really excited, but until camp, hub cities, camps, and probably making it through a few days and seeing an actual schedule that says, well, the Calgary Flames are going to play an exhibition game on the 28th or 29th. You know, when I start seeing that stuff, then I'm going to get really excited.
You and Peter were talking about some prospect stuff there with the draft lottery, and I'm excited to hear your draft profiles coming up as we get closer and closer to NHL draft season. But me and Peter have kind of gone back and forth on the number two overall pick, or who could be number two, and one guy we've talked a lot about is a young man by the name of Quinton Byfield, and we've almost gone to the point where we don't know how the last prospect that we can think of that had such a variance between could be a potential superstar to people worrying about a potential, you know, overselling of the player. Where do you stand on Quinton Byfield?
Well, it's hard not to be incredibly impressed by the package and the skill set. You know, he's already 6'4" and 215, 220 pounds. You know, he's an incredible skater. He's got great mobility. I remember watching him in person for the first time a couple of summers ago when he was 15 at the OHL Gold Cup tournament for the best OHL prospects in Ontario. And certainly I was really, really impressed then. I would say for me, I understand some of the trepidation because, again, it's really, really difficult to be an impact player at 17 at the World Junior. And let's not forget, I'm not sure he played a shift in the final game. Like, it was harder and harder to find him any kind of ice time as the tournament went along. I also thought that he was less than stellar a few weeks later at the top prospects game, but you know, I don't see him sliding any further, Logan, than, you know, maybe four. And he reminds me somewhat, and just somewhat, but not completely, you know, just maybe the skill and size of a Malkin type. But my trepidation comes from, you know, when I've seen him in some high level situations, he hasn't exactly blown the doors off for me. Now, he was good. He was pretty good at the Hlinka Gretzky in August, and obviously I pay incredibly close attention to that, but even in that event, Cole Perfetti was a bigger star for Canada and scored 8 times, and, you know, he's another player that I've talked to some people, and, you know, there would be some people that might even venture to think of him in that kind of spot or wheelhouse, let alone the young man who blew me away from Germany at the World Junior, and Tim Stützle.
And it's funny you mentioned Stützle, because I was going to just shift the focus to the Ottawa Senators, who might have been considered the biggest losers on the day of the draft lottery, when they could have selected as high as 1 and 2, but wind up with 3 and 5. It's hard to feel too bad for a team that's still going to pick 2 players in the top 5. And as you mentioned there, if Stutzel's the guy that's around at 3, could be the center of the future for the Ottawa Senators. And at 5, there's still going to be a very good player left for them. And even though they're not drafting 1 and 2, 3 and 5 in this kind of draft could certainly go a long way to helping the Senators franchise moving forward.
Logan, I really like, I mean, it's not as ideal as it could have been, and I was actually cheering for them to probably do a little better, frankly, on Friday night. However, with all the good work that Pierre Dorion and the staff have done there in starting to really accumulate some quality players and some quality prospects still on their way to, I believe, making a real impact in the league, you know, you're going to get 2 dynamite players at 3 and 5. Now, to me, there's one class, Lafreniere. And then, honestly, gents, for me, Stützle, Byfield are probably, if you want to tier things, in the next tier. But after that, depending on how you want to go, you know, for me, Perfetti wouldn't be far from being in that class in terms of a forward. A Lucas Raymond, who I've been so impressed with out of Sweden the last couple of years, who reminds me, frankly, a lot of Mitch Marner as a right-handed winger that makes plays and has a great impact on the game. And the other thing that you like as far as, you know, the Senators are concerned is you get an opportunity to potentially take a high-end forward, whoever you settle on and whoever you really like in that next grouping, and you get your hands on the guy that you think is arguably the best defenseman, whether it's, you know, Drysdale, and some people like, you know, Jake Sanderson a lot too. He's really moved up, who was, you know, all kinds of Calgary roots. His father's Jeff Sanderson, the former NHLer. You know, he's the captain of the U.S. under 18 team. And the more I've watched him on video, and I was lucky because I watched him as a 15-year-old play for Team Alberta, and, you know, watched him even in Bantam AAA and one game at the Edge. But boy, he's really blossomed too. So if you're the Sens, you're going to get a high end forward and potentially a real high end defenseman. That's not a bad place to be.
A couple more here with Peter Labardius. Everyone loves a good draft day trade. Would a 3-5 package for one be enough on either side of that? To
yeah, maybe.
Like that?
Maybe. Depending. You know what's interesting about that, Mr. Klein? I think the way the lottery shakes out gives that potentially more reason to be in play.
Yeah.
So depending on who ends up winning the lottery and where they are and their strengths and their needs, now it would be hard not to want this particular player, but the ability to, you know, have the next tier forward, and for me, drop off for sure, but I wouldn't say necessarily, you know, huge drop off, and the best defenseman whoever they decide it is. That's not bad. So no, I don't think that's necessarily out of the realm either.
And I think the salary cap adds an interesting wrinkle to this whole thing, because for a long time it was you draft them, they come up, they develop, and things of that nature. But now, because everyone is right up to the salary cap and these guys are coming in at $900,000, there's a bit of a quicker process for some. And if you're a team like the Blackhawks, who are going to forever be up against the cap because of a couple of the contracts they signed to guys who helped them win a few Stanley Cups, maybe having two players on entry-level deals instead of just one player on an entry-level deal becomes a bit more appetizing.
Well, listen, you know, you're right. The one thing you can't discount, and you're not going to be able to discount it until the system changes, is when you can incorporate people at 9.75 for 3 years who can come in and have an impact. I mean, that is winning the lottery, literally. And the flexibility in some ways that gives you, you know, on the other side of the coin, what I really don't like about today's system is, and I've said this for a number of years on our station, that it's almost like if you're in that 30-year-old window now and you're not looked at as an elite player, it's hard to have a job. And what really bothers me about that is that I think in so many ways it's, you know, players in that 26 to 30, 32-year-old age group who have experience and in a lot of ways can help lead you, and they're the glue guys that can put you over. So, yeah, but you're right. I mean, the business of today is the business of today. So there, when you're a good player, and good players are, you know, skill-wise, how they prepare, all you have to do is go to games in junior and other levels to indicate how fast kids can get there. Well, the leash is longer because of the price tag.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think that, I mean, we have a pause now and everyone's working on getting back, but I do think a pause is good to look at a few things with how the system is set up. Last one for you, just shifting gears to a different sport. When last we spoke, Major League Baseball was having a little bit of an issue with trying to get back, and they are coming back. It's not under the best of terms between players and owners, but there is allegedly going to be a baseball season this year. Has your opinion changed on how all that went down?
No. Not one bit.
I didn't think it would have.
No, as sour as I've ever been. As sour, yeah. And to me, in so many ways, understanding at least in part the big business of it and appreciate it and understand that people like ourselves are the reason that it is such big business and that the money is what it is. But Major League Baseball to me has shown me in a lot of different ways could use a little bit more awareness in terms of the gap between themselves and what's been created and people who actually play a massive role in why they have the salaries and the lifestyle that they do.
Couldn't agree more, sir. Lou, this was awesome. Always fun catching up. Hopefully we get to do it again soon when there's actual games to be discussing.
Well, it you know, if the calendar kind of takes shape the way it is, it'll be up and upon us before we know it. And to everybody listening today, happy Canada Day. I like my country. I'm quite fond of it. And I think we're incredibly lucky to live in the country that we are and what it provides. And going to be even a little more excited about thinking about being Canadian this year, tomorrow, than I usually am. And that's pretty darn excited. So it's a good place. We need to never lose sight of it being a great place and how we can all keep it in check and make sure it continues to be a great place and accessible and equitable for all.
Excellent way to end this, Lou. Have a wonderful Canada Day, and we'll chat soon.
Okay,
thanks,
guys.
Peter.
Be well.